podcast where every week we read the news so you don't have to. I'm Andrew Hillary. I'm the host of the show. I am joined once again by my longtime friend, sometimes co-host, Deanna Mackey. What's up, Deanna? How are you, buddy?
I'm good. You know, just another week. I can't believe it's not butter.
Once again, starting the show off with a callback to a joke we made before we started recording. I love to see it. I'm glad you're doing well, Deanna.
No one can believe it's butter. They all... I thought that that was just like a sentiment. Like, that's just a greeting now. Like, how's it going? I can't believe it's not butter.
Already off the rails. Let's bring in our guests now. We put out a call on Twitter as our scheduled guest was MIA, and I said, "Oh my goodness." That's not what I said. I just said somebody come on the podcast, and a couple people responded, and frankly, I am thrilled with the folks that popped up first. So, let's bring on first and foremost returning guest, one of my closest Twitter friends. Please give it up for Myth. What's up, Myth?
Hi. I'm sick, but I'm here. I just can't like lay there and do nothing. So hi, that's me.
Oh no, basically. Is it the cold?
I actually am not sure because it's been one of those colds that has hung on to me kind of things. So I'm just not seeing anyone and I'll get tested when I can get tested and just canceled everything. Yay.
Cancel culture strikes again.
Oh my goodness.
What's that?
Caught in the crosshairs of cancel culture.
In our fourth seat, first time guest, please give it up for Marina. Hi.
Hi. I'm also sick. It might also be COVID. Oh like God. It's just
I like that the really... only people you could get to be on this show are like two
stuck
people who are sick and had nowhere to go, and then like also me, who is sick in a different way and also had nowhere to go.
This whole show, honestly, is pretty fucking sick. So I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised.
Sick podcast, bro.
Thanks. Marina, it's nice to have you. You are one of the hosts of a show with a longtime friend of the pod, Cole James Cash. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about the show real quick?
Yeah, so I'm a co-host on Log Off Already with Cole James Cash, Nia Cola, and Andre Domais. And we have a Twitch show. We stream, 7 days a week, starting at 8 p.m. And it's a place where you better be logged off already. You come hang out with us. We're not here to talk about discourse and the politic. We're here to just watch garbage and be little gremlins.
Ooh, speaking of gremlins, I need to watch Gremlins this week. It's one of my favorite Christmas movies.
When I feel like I want to watch Gremlins, I just put on Fox News.
Oh, Deanna, come on, you're better than that.
I am not better than that. I, in fact, am just as bad as that.
Fair. Same.
Wait, before we go on, Myth, Marina, I just need to know, can you believe it's not butter?
Jesus Christ.
Sorry, I can't.
I'm really misbehaving today.
I am a butter truther.
We have a lot in common. This is weird because, yeah, no, butter is good. Butter has been, like, maligned too much.
It's Paula Deen's fault. She made butter into a, like, she gave it a negative image.
She made butter racist. Actually, butter is already racist somehow. She just made it worse.
Yeah, Deanna showed up to my house today. First thing she said was, "Are you going to be a dick to me today?" Which I hadn't been planning on, but it was a strange question to be greeted with. The second thing she said to me was like, "You know, they say I can't believe it's not butter, but like I feel like they know it's not butter in there."
Right, like they like the people who made it, they manufactured it knowing goddamn well it wasn't butter, and then they packaged it and sold it to people who knew that they weren't buying actual butter. Like, who exactly is it that can't believe it's not butter? Is it the people you're serving it too? Because that also comes with the implication that you're depotting the I can't believe it's not butter into like a nicer receptacle in pursuit of deception. And I just feel like the I can't believe it's not butter crowd isn't really doing that shit. You don't put that out in like a nice little butter dish. You just put the plastic tub right on the fucking card table you eat dinner on.
Or like you eat out of the tub after it's finished, you know, like that's the leftovers container. I don't know. Is anybody else white trash? Yeah. Maybe that's just,
when I was a kid, I would just, my mom would get the sticks because we were like bougie trash. So my mom would get the sticks and I would just bite into them like candy bars.
I can't believe it's not stick.
I can't believe it's not candy.
You ate butter just by itself. Is that what you're saying?
I am a full-blooded Sicilian. Don't.
Yeah.
But like, also, for accuracy and clarity, I ate, I can't believe it's not butter straight. Like, I didn't eat butter.
And you knew even at the time that it wasn't butter.
I knew full well that it wasn't butter, and I bit that stick anyway.
My grandma used to give me mayonnaise in a spoon as a child. Like that was a thing that I would eat, which is amazing as someone who now, like, the thought of mayonnaise makes me want to vomit. Just the concept, just the idea of it, so disgusting. But as a child, I would eat it out of a spoon.
Was she like trying to like fatten you up, or like what was the old wives' tale associated? Or was she just like, this looks like a baby that wants to eat some mayo?
Yeah, maybe.
What's the genesis?
Southern grandma. I think it was just like, oh, this kid wants to try everything. Well, I'm gonna let them try whatever they want within the realm of safety, which I respect. And I kind of have the same.
Did you say Southern?
Southern.
She was like, this isn't going to be a corn-fed baby. This is going to be a mayo-made motherfucker is what's going to happen here.
I've been doing something really cool the last week. I bought like a couple different types of lunch meat, like salamis and pepperonis and some cheese. And I've just been like every few hours going to the fridge and eating like a couple loose meats and cheeses. And what I'm doing is essentially I've created an extended release charcuterie board.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got the Lunchable ER going on. But it's good. Like, you're getting your steps in. Like, you're not just here just biting into the salami log, just chomping.
It's unhealthy to eat an entire thing of salami in one sitting. But if you, you know, split it up and get some steps back and forth to the fridge, I'm basically a guru.
That's cardio.
Yeah.
The Atkins diet re-improved.
It's going to
keep with
on.
Extra steps.
2022, you're going to hear people talk about the extended release charcuterie.
Listen, the keto diet is just the Atkins diet on one hell of a rebrand, and that's the hill I'll die on.
I believe it. Yeah, I don't know what either of them really are, but I know people have been talking about weird diets my entire life, and I've never really looked into any of them. So
I had fat parents, so I can tell you all about weird diets later.
Ooh. We'll save it for the bonus. Speaking of bonus, this is a listener-funded podcast. What that means is we have a Patreon. Patreon.com/worstweekyet.
Why'd you look at me like you wanted me to say something about the Patreon?
Oh, I don't know. I was actually trying to. I had a mouthful of spit I had to swallow. Don't. I was looking at you.
Don't ever
panic.
Look at me and swallow your spit again. First of all. A, B, G. Ryan Gaines, Chelsea Calderon,
look at her go.
CIA brain bugs, and all the other people we say every week, and no one knew because there's never anyone new. Thanks for your help.
Also, Tara, Patrick, leave me alone, and Amanda Pucci.
I'm sorry, I forgot about you guys. He won't let me see the cheat sheet.
Yeah, I don't let Deanna see the notes before we start recording. It's a tradition I've kept alive for the entirety of the podcast. But yes, go to patreon.com/worstweekyet. You can get weekly, most weekly bonus episodes. And if you give $10 a month, we say your name because you're a motherfucking sponsor. So
you are a mayo-made motherfucking sponsor.
If you sign up at $15 a month, I will mail you a spoonful of mayonnaise. Now, we're not just here to talk about weird things our grandmas gave us when we were kids. Although, frankly, now that I'm saying it, Marina, did your grandma give you anything weird when you were a kid?
Oh, yeah. My grandma was Eastern. My grandma's Eastern European, like from the motherland. So it was just like whole, like,
she just
entire
hands
you a ham. Kielbasa. It was just like her. There was never any like she was from the old country, but also did not know how to cook because she was like a peasant. Like,
she was just rejecting stereotypes. Okay.
Yeah.
Literally. Like my mom would eat, what was it? The leftover bacon fat, like the rendered bacon fat that is congealed into like a white, like paste. She would smear that on, just plain toast. No, not plain toast, plain bread, not even toasted.
Oh,
and then
wait,
put raw onion on it and feed that to me.
Was your grandma Shrek?
Yes. Like literal peasant food.
I'd like to defend my grandma's honor and just I'd like to say that she was not the culprit behind the I can't believe it's not butter. Like, I have not said anything that my grandparents gave me as a child because mostly it was a Catholic guilt complex. But like the butter, the not butter, pardon me, the not butter was all my own doing.
Oh, yeah. No, you snuck that away. Did your mom ever catch you like taking a bite out of a stick of I can't believe it's not butter?
Oh, yeah. They knew about me, but they gave up so early. Like they were trying to potty train me and they had to strap me to the potty chair. And then one time,
oh my God,
I was like done being strapped there and I thought they had left me for too long. So I just like stood up and dragged the pee-filled potty chair like throughout the house and they were fucking done with me. They were done. They
Agent
were like,
Agent of chaos.
They were like, eat that butter, you dumb bitch. This isn't going to go well for any of us. I vaulted myself out of my crib one time because my mom and my sister were on the floor and I was like, what the fuck are you guys doing down there? Why am I in this baby cage? And then I like shimmied up the bars and ejected myself. So yeah, by the time I got to the butter, they were like, fuck it. Fuck.
It was too late.
Whatever happens to this one happens.
Well, that was fun.
Now that we all know each other.
Yeah, now that we've gotten over the important stuff, let's talk about the news. Now, I don't know, Marina, Myth, I don't know if you ends up been paying too much attention, but these last 7 days, once again, it was the worst week yet. That was the wrong button, but it worked. So I wanted to start off with just a horrifying story out of the South, and that is that we have now started to see dozens of feral hogs take over neighborhoods in a small Texas town. Now, listeners, you may remember either a few months or a few years ago, because what does time even mean anymore, that one guy tweeted about 30 to 50 feral hogs and got roasted pretty bad for it. And now the prophecy is coming true. These hogs are destroying everything. Like, they'll tear up gardens. They'll tear up everything. Like, hogs fucked the place up.
I like that you were like, hogs will destroy everything. They'll tear up gardens. Everything. like there is nothing between gardens and everything else.
I can't believe it's not gardens.
I mean, kind of true. Yeah. That was several years ago because I wasn't on Twitter yet.
Okay, yeah. I remember not it happening, that. But like...
Wait, what did he say about the feral hogs?
It was something about gun control where, like, he was like, I need my rifle because, like, sometimes I live in a rural area and, like, if 30 to 50 feral hogs roll up, like, I need to be able to defend myself. And
okay,
everybody made fun of
him. In light of the recent run of feral hogs that we're mm-hmm, experiencing, mm-hmm. This, like, unseasonable feral hog display... if that guy tweeted that tomorrow, I would still make fun of him. So I think the roasting stands. Like, if my yard was full of feral hogs, I would just stay the fuck in the house.
No, like they can break in.
They'll get in there.
Okay, so it's more than just gardens. Is that what you're saying?
Did you see the video? There was a video of a wild boar bashing into a metal gate and literally knocking it off, sending the metal gate flying. And I'm not talking about like some flimsy little like you can step over. I'm talking about like gated community type metal gate, and it just smashed head first into it.
Yeah.
It was terrifying. They can get into your house and they will fuck you up.
Also, I think if they're hungry enough, they'll literally eat you.
Yeah, yes. I have a friend who hunts them.
So this isn't like Babe, a Pig in the City.
Says that he likes it because he gets so close to death every time he goes hunting wild boars. Seriously.
Yeah, boars, like wild boars will fuck you up and they will eat you.
See, it's not just gardens.
Wasn't there that lady who like fed her husband to one or a couple of them?
Well,
that's like
first of all, good for her.
I don't know. I don't know if that's a good... Okay,
there was actually a whole plot line on Hannibal about somebody like feeding people to... It's all coming clear to me now. Charlotte never should have made those webs.
Jesus Christ.
Well, because that's the thing is like even domesticated pigs will fucking do that. If you starve them, they'll eat anything. Because there's that scene in The Wizard of Oz where Dorothy is walking up on top of the gatepost and she falls in, and it's like, oh no, like she's falling in. I'm like, what's wrong with falling into the pigsty? Because they'll fucking eat you. They'll eat a little girl.
Yeah.
Oh, I just thought it was like because her dress was getting muddy.
No.
Like, I thought it was like unladylike. And, well, I guess like that would have been more top of mind when The Wizard of Oz came out. I really didn't know about hogs like that.
You learn something new every day. Look at that. Speaking of children that could be killed, let's, you know, hit our weekly quota for this week, the dead kids quota. Oh, I guess I kind of just spoiled the story here. This week in Tasmania, down in Australia.
That was both a spoiler alert and a trigger warning. Like, this next story is about dead kids. So.
Yeah.
Spoiler, mate.
Spoiler. Crikey.
Green button.
No, you can reach over if you need to, but it's too late now.
No, I'm just going to say green button. That's everyone's going to know. That's the womp, womp, womp noise.
Fair enough. This week down in Tasmania, in southern Australia, there was an accident where a bouncy castle was lifted into the sky by a freak gust of wind and killed 6 children. These kids were jumping in a bouncy castle at like a school like picnic day or something. And there wasn't like massive storms. It was just like a freak gust of wind just lifted the bouncy castle off the ground and shot it into the sky. And then all the kids just crashed back down to earth. Fucking horrifying, dude.
Parent, just like don't even do this because like, no, like don't have them. Don't have them, y'all. This is so horrifying.
Bouncy
and
castles?
Like
children.
Oh.
Don't have them. Don't have them, you guys. Like, I mean, I love my kids so much, and that's the problem. Because like that, he could just get bouncy castled away at any moment. Like
it is so like when I saw that headline, I just like laid in bed and I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Like it's that it has to be the scariest part about being a parent is like really your only job is to make sure that this person doesn't die at all times. And then like sometimes the world will just be like, oh, guess what? curveball. The bouncy castle killed your kid.
It's not the virus. It's the fucking bouncy castle. Like what?
Your child is just going to go and die having fun. Like that is. Like, how do you fucking recover from that? Oh, my God.
I feel
he
like
died doing what he loved.
I was going to say, I feel like this was worse for, like, the people that saw it happen and the parents and just, like, general morale than it was for the actual kids. Like if I was just bouncing and then all of a sudden the bounce house was flying, I would be like, this was a fucking hell of a bounce. And then like splat. But it sounds like it was pretty quick.
Yeah, no, because it happened at school. So like there was a bunch of teachers there. And like after it happened, like the teacher, like I was reading, it was very fucking horrifying. I know I'm trying to make jokes about it. But yeah, like the teachers had to like run over and it took like forever for ambulances to come. And there's just like little fucking kids laying on the ground, all splatted. And yeah, horrifying
stuff.
Wait
a minute. They didn't splat, like they came out of the bouncy house.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh,
no.
There
wasn't
any
video or
anything.
That's
not good for anyone.
Yeah.
That's not.
I feel
like
if they land still in the bouncy house, they're going to be fine.
Yeah, I thought it was just like an extended release Lunchable of dead kids.
Well, you know.
Wait, so they were like, there were children like crawling out like mangled?
Yeah, like I don't know.
Oh, this was an instant impact. This is why it really sucks that you don't research these stories.
Oh my God, that's so like.
What it sounded
like. That just sounds like the worst. That's literally like the worst thing I think I've like.
I think they were thrown. I think they were thrown from the bouncy castle while it was airborne. Because, like I said, like if they landed still inside of it, I feel like they would be fine. Like that's like cushion. But I don't know. It's horrifying.
Yeah.
Parents.
Oh my God.
I don't
prospective
know.
Parents, just know that if you have a child, someday they might die having so much fun.
I don't know that, like, even the air, like, I don't think the air resistance in the bottom of a bounce house is enough to break that kind of impact. How far
did it go?
It went up like 36 feet in the air, which like that's why it doesn't sound like a lot. Like they have to have been thrown out of it. I don't know. It's bad. But like I said, we cannot do this show and skip an opportunity to talk about horrible things happening. So there it is. That's our quota, folks. You tune in for all the best worst news.
All of our faces are so sour right now. I just looked over at the computer and I saw Myth and Marina and myself, and you have just upset three people so much.
Mm. Well,
no, because it's like so bizarre. Cause like I've heard of like trampolines, like getting knocked over by the wind, but like, I don't think I've ever heard of a bouncy, like I've heard of them like collapsing and like suffocating a kid, mm-hmm. but never like becoming airborne and turning into like a cannon of death, just like shooting babies out. Like, oh my God. Yeah. Cause you would think like, if you're like wrapped up in that and you only go up 36 feet, like that's a three story house. Like, I guess like a small child that would be pretty like impactful, but I feel like you would survive, but they must've been thrown out and like hit stuff, like had like full on impact. Cause that'll kill you. Well, yeah. Holy shit.
Maybe I retract my statement that it may have been enjoyable for the children. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm
thinking about it.
If you're like in the bounce house, you'd probably just be like, "What's going on? I'm just like being like tossed about." Like I've been in a car accident where you're like when you roll and it's very quick and you're just like, "Ah!" Like what's happening? And then it's over. But yeah, that sounds like. Like literally everyone who witnessed that is now just like damaged beyond repair for the rest of their life.
This is how you know Hollywood is bullshit, because in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, they jump out of a fucking airplane in a river raft, like an inflatable raft, and then use it to sled down a mountain and no one falls out and no one dies.
We should make it a rule that everybody who goes into a bouncy castle has to take an inflatable raft with them. See, we're problem solving here on Worst We Get. Let's move on. Let's talk about a slightly different kind of horror story. This week, Congress was holding more hearings for the January 6th committee. I don't know, Deanna, we haven't talked this over, but it's always been kind of the stance of the Worst Week Yet that January 6th was pretty funny just overall. But, you know, Congress can't really let this go. They've got to punish somebody. They've got to get to the bottom of it. So this week they've been trying to subpoena Mark Meadows, who was Trump's chief of staff. And like originally he was going to comply and then he backed out. So he's in contempt. I don't fucking know what that means. But this week they were reading some of his text messages that they obtained, and they got a bunch of messages that people were sending him while the like insurrection was taking place. And some real gold in here. Now, if you remember, a lot of the coverage on Fox News was like, I think this is Antifa that's in the Capitol. Turns out that they didn't actually think that. Fox News host Laura Ingraham said, hey, Mark, the president needs to tell people the Capitol to go home. This is hurting us all. He's destroying his legacy.
I hate it.
Now, she was one of the people that was like, no, we don't know what these Antifa infiltrators are doing in this Capitol. Like, no, she knew. She knew. Sean Hannity, not a friend of the pod, Sean Hannity, he said, can Trump make a statement, ask people to leave the Capitol? And then there was another message from Donald Trump Jr., also not a friend of the pod yet. Donald Trump Jr. texted him, he's got to condemn this shit ASAP. The Capitol Police tweet is not enough. To which Mark Meadows responded, I'm pushing it hard. I agree. And then no action was taken for like 4 more hours. Like, Trump just let all this shit happen. Everybody was freaking out. It's great.
I actually sort of delight in that. Because all of those people like pushed Trump along, and when he got there, he just wasn't gonna be any of their puppets either. So I like that.
I'm not a puppet.
Yeah, I'm a very stable genius. I like that. Like, they were like, you have to preserve your image. And he was like, ah, fuck it. Let's burn this shit down. Like, I can have a shred of humor in that. I can find the laugh in that.
Literally just an agent of chaos. Like, I feel like him going along with the January 6th thing, like, I don't think he knew that people were going to get riled up. I think he just saw everyone's energy and was like, you know, I'm going to go out with a bang, because like, what are they going to do to me? You know, like, he has enough money that he doesn't give a shit.
Like, I guarantee he was sitting there like watching those scenes unfold like, this is fucking awesome.
Yeah, like, I think that it was just entertainment for him.
Mm-hmm. It's like, look at all these. There's no way that Donald Trump doesn't, like, on a personal level, despise all these like yahoos that are his fans. But he's like, oh, look at all these idiots. Look at what they're doing for me. This is so great. Like,
yeah, he has so much contempt for the people that vote for him, like the poor people that vote for him. And it's just so fucking like funny to watch. But yeah, I also am like reveling in these people just like,
I think it's really funny that Donald Trump Jr. was texting Mark Meadows and not just texting his dad.
Like, he knew that person wasn't available to listen. That means
Donald Trump Jr. is like, yeah, I also have a parent that's dead inside.
Well, Donald Trump Jr. already knew what fucking Laura Ingraham and Sean Hannity found out, which is that his father wasn't going to do what benefited anyone else. Like,
his father doesn't care about them.
Yeah, he was like, I'm sick of trying. You try it, Mark. Maybe he'll listen to you. Maybe he won't tell you you're a disappointment.
I thought it was
literally.
I'm like, does Donald Trump have his son's number blocked? Like, I don't know. I watch too much Succession. I'm like, there's some overlap, right? There has to be. Let's see. What else happened this week? Oh, this is exciting. This week, Governor Ron DeSantis down in Florida introduced the Stop Woke Act. This is an act meant to codify the rule against teaching critical race theory into law, and will also penalize schools for hiring diversity consultants. So this is real exciting. Critical race theory, as Yins may know, has never been taught in like high schools at all, but now there's a law against it. Yeah, you know, he's just DeSantis is just doing his part.
When you start with dead kids, it's hard to imagine going downhill. And yet here we are looking up from the bottom. What the fuck?
What, yeah, because the kids we do have, we're not going to teach.
Yeah. You know what? I'm back to my original stance that those kids that were in that bounce house got the best of the deal.
Yeah, they'll never have to.
That is a pretty awesome way to die. Like, if you're a kid and you go to the pearly gates and you're like talking to all the other dead children, you're like, "How did you die in like plague?" And you're like, "How did you die?" Like, I was in a bouncy castle that was swept in the wind, and then I was ejected out.
I did a jump in a bounce house, dude.
It had to be like, I'm betting that it was like some kind of like suburban, like. You had a bounce house. Your school had a bounce house. My school never had a bounce house.
Yeah, right? So also, like, I love that this story about Ron DeSantis is so depressing that we're like, let's talk about the dead kids more.
That's literally was my strategy. I was like, you know what? Because you know what? I hate to admit this about myself, but I have jokes about dead kids, but I really don't have any jokes about how fucked up Ron DeSantis is trying to make the world for live kids. Like, that's not fucking funny.
Yeah, it's...
I mean, neither is the other thing. I'm just better at making up jokes about it.
We were raised on the dead baby joke, like, train. I feel like that was a thing. I don't know. I feel like that was, like, that started being a thing when we were... I know there have probably always been dead baby jokes, but yeah. I feel like in high school, well, that was the thing that people could say to make me cry instantly. So
I feel like I remember being in like sixth grade and somebody would like print out a list of dead baby jokes from like the school library and then just be like walking around with three sheets of paper like, oh, you want to know the funniest thing about a dead baby?
Yeah,
that was the coolest kid in my school, by the way. So, yeah, I don't know. Fuck Ron DeSantis. Probably going to be the next president unless Donald Trump runs again. But, you know.
What's the penalty for schools? Did you say for hiring diversity advisors?
Diversity consultants. Basically, like, if somebody brings on someone to try and make the school, like, better for their non-white students, the school loses funding. Ron DeSantis is a real piece of work.
I think shit was the word you were looking for.
Real piece of shit work. Yes. Just, no, you know what? Just shit. Sorry, Ron. Fuck you. Let's talk about, cancel culture claimed another victim this week. And frankly, you know, maybe the left has gone too far. This week, two United States-based Quidditch organizations will be changing their names in light of J.K. Rowling's recent transphobia. United States Quidditch and Major League Quidditch say they will change their names both to be more inclusive and in hopes that they will be able to now get sponsorships and broadcasting deals, which they can't currently get because Warner Brothers owns the trademark on Quidditch.
God, I hope someone invites me to a party with a bounce house on a windy day.
That is so
literally Quidditch. People are playing a game that is like meant to be Quidditch. I've never seen Harry Potter, but from what I understand, Quidditch is played using magic brooms that fly in the air. So like
my college had a Quidditch team, which I didn't know people were still trying to play that. Like
apparently it's been going since 2005 and there's like full-on leagues where people like play each other in different cities and shit, but like they can't like advertise it or like get any like broadcasting.
This is just a different kind of LARP. This is LARPing for like the sporty nerds.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. Like, why is it, like these people are so committed to the game of Quidditch that they're like, we want to get rid of J.K. Rowling's association with this, but we still want to play this stupid fucking game that A, she made up, and B, we can't even play the actual version of because there's no such thing as flying brooms. It's like,
I'm going to say something really annoying.
Do it.
I'm like, are they hurting anyone by being super fucking weird playing this game?
No, I like it for them. Be weird. I'm super fucking weird. I opened with telling a story about how I like ate butter right off the stick. It's like, be as fucking weird as you want to be. My issue is that I appreciate them wanting to stand with trans people, but it's just like, look up a trans organization in your community and like do a fucking fundraiser for them, or like participate in something, like participate in some kind of advocacy. Like, it to me, what they're doing feels less like they're trying to advocate for trans people and more like they're trying to punish JK Rowling, which like, I can assure you that her and all her money doesn't give a shit. Like, I feel like she probably doesn't fucking care. So I wish that they would just do something for trans people and go about their Quidditch.
I kind of thought that they were doing this. It sounds to me, just from hearing it, like they're doing it because they want sponsorships and they couldn't have them before. Like, that's
kind of what. That's
even fucking worse.
That's what it is. Is it like?
I'm not saying it's good.
The story led off with saying like, "Oh, these Quidditch leagues are going to get rid of the word Quidditch because, you know, in protest of J.K. Rowling." But then it followed that up with like, and so they can get sponsorships and stuff. Oh. I'm like, I don't know if, like, I feel like if you were really against J.K. Rowling, you would just stop playing this game that she made up.
Right. It's all perfect. They like, are
just,
having
just
a
play rugby or something. I
They're
don't know.
They're having a diplomatic boycott of Quidditch. And quite frankly, I can't do this again.
Yeah. Like, no one, I don't know. Like, I don't think anyone who, I don't know. I think you only give a shit if you, like, are really dedicated to Harry Potter and it left like an imprint on you at a young age and this is how you reconcile with it. Otherwise it's like, I don't care. Right. Like, it's like you're not hurting anyone, but you're also a dork. Like, I think you're a total dweeb, but like you're,
I mean,
like, this is also
listen,
not like
I have a fucking tattoo of Fox the Phoenix. I Harry Potter did imprint on me as a child. And so like I can say with certainty, the Quidditch people are kind of my people, and also the Quidditch people are fucking lame.
Yeah.
If you're into Quidditch, also just help some trans people. Like, that's it. Use some of your sponsorship money to help some trans people.
Yeah. I feel like the only Quidditch person I know is trans, so I don't know. Like, help yourself. Yeah. But
well, that person gets to hit J.K. Rowling with a broom. Like,
okay, wait a second.
Like,
no,
all
I think
the
you're onto
non-trans
something here.
People need to help trans people, and then if you're a trans person into Quidditch, if you see J.K. Rowling, you have my permission to swat that bitch with a broom.
That's an official Worst Week Yet endorsement.
Magic or otherwise. No, I endorse nothing.
Oh, yeah, shit.
I gave permission. That's not an endorsement. I'll allow it, but I won't endorse it.
You know, language is always evolving. Let's move on. This is exciting. New York City's next mayor-to-be, Eric Adams, he pledged this week that on day one of his term as the new mayor of New York, he wants to bring back solitary confinement at Rikers on day one. He said de Blasio's a little too soft on all those prisoners, not, you know, torturing them. Eric Adams fucking sucks, dude. I cannot believe that, like, why would you give a press conference and say, like, you know, I think one of the priorities in this city that's currently being ravaged by the plague and, like, falling apart in a million different ways, I think we need to treat our prisoners worse. For
What's
starters,
his name?
Eric Adams.
Eric Adams. If you are out there in Rikers, when you get out, if you see Eric Adams, I give you permission to hit him with a broom.
Should we be supplying the brooms at this point? Like,
I'm going to have a broom drive.
Donate your brooms. Remember in the beginning of 2020 whenever everyone realized that if you just stand a broom up on its bristles, it'll stay there? But somebody was like, this is actually the alignment of the planets that is causing this, like, anomaly. It's like, I think nobody just ever tried it before.
That goes around every 6 months in witchy Facebook groups. It's like one of the things that you can kind of rely on for entertainment. I don't know. I like it. I like when people
that's
like
so funny. I
suddenly are like, it's magic. And I'm like, oh, you stupid idiot. Like, bless your heart.
I like this. I love that you're quick to defend. I like that Myth is quick to defend anyone on Team Broom. like you and me, the Quidditch people. They were like, the Quidditch people are just having a good time. The broom people, they were like, yeah.
I think it's because I'm a broom.
Wait, you are a broom?
I'm a broom.
This is a huge revelation on Worst Week Yet. We usually don't get exclusive scoops here. Wow, goodness gracious.
Myth the broom.
They swept us all away. You know, I don't fucking
know. Oh, no. Not they swept us away.
Oh, yeah. No, no. You know what? You're right. So let's move on. We're going to do a little bit of Sex and the City spoilers for anybody that cares to hear about Sex and the City, the new season.
I like that it took me 1.5 episodes to train you to green button yourself at like my implied behest.
Yeah, no, I get it. I'm picking it up. So listeners. Sorry.
No, I just got yelled at for spoiling something from the Sex and the City movie from 2008.
Well, listeners, if you somehow are the center of the Venn diagram that is Worst Week Yet listeners and Sex and the City viewers, I'm going to spoil something from, I believe, the first episode of the reboot. Deanna, are you a Sex and the City viewer?
I may or may not have casually viewed six to nine episodes of season two from 4:30 to 6:30 this morning.
Wait, from season two? Are you caught up on the new ones? Because that's what I'm spoiling.
I didn't watch the new ones yet. I just started because I have like a weird completist. Like, I convinced myself that I hadn't seen all of the original episodes, even though I'm fairly certain that I have. So before I could watch the new ones, I had to start the whole thing from the beginning.
What, have you heard what happens in the new ones? Do you want it spoiled?
I don't care. I have anxiety. I kind of like spoilers.
Oh, okay. Well,
I wish somebody would come and fucking tell me what was going to happen. I would be so much less, like, even if it's something bad, just knowing.
Deanna as a character in the Final Destination movies sees all that shit happen. And she's like, oh, thank God. Now I just, like, I don't have to worry. I know I'm going to get hit in the face with a log that falls off a truck.
I'm terrified of that happening.
It's so scary.
Me too.
All right, well, listen, spoil the city or whatever you're doing over there.
Sex and the spoilers.
Sex and the spoilers. There
so
it is.
Sex and the City got a reboot. I don't know why. I watched like a couple episodes in my lifetime. I don't fucking care. So in, I think, the first episode of the new series, Mr. Big, character that I am familiar with somewhat, Mr. Big dies after riding on a Peloton.
I'm just so happy about this, y'all. I'm sorry. I fucking hate that guy. Hate that guy.
Oh, you're going to hate him more. Don't worry.
I know. No, I already know.
Okay.
You hate the character or you hate the actor or both?
Now it's both.
Yeah.
Now it's both.
On rewatch, Carrie actually was frequently very shitty to him.
Carrie's a terrible person. She's the worst person of the whole show.
She is a very bad person.
She's
They're
terrible.
All bad. And also, like, just on the rewatch, it was the 90s in Manhattan, and they were, like, scandalized by threesomes and anal and vibrant. Like, there were a whole plot line.
And uncircumcised penises were, like, this huge fucking deal. Yeah, I know. It was disgusting. And it wasn't even phobic, too.
Yeah, it's super. And also super fat phobic. And, like, I just... It wasn't doing it for me. It's not doing it for me.
Yeah. Well, that's good. So Mr. Big dies on episode one after riding a Peloton. Now it's like very like Peloton, like either paid for or like was notified that they were doing this product placement where a character dies immediately after riding one. So then right after that episode, Peloton's stock like tumbled. Like, the stock price, like, tumbled. So, immediately, like, within 48 hours, they recorded, like, a parody ad starring Mr. Big, or the actor Christopher Noth, who plays Mr. Big, starring him, and it's got a voiceover by Ryan Reynolds, and they, like, recorded this whole thing in, like, less than 2 days, got this ad out, and then... Like 2 days after that, several women came forward with sexual assault allegations against Christopher Noth. And then so now they have pulled the ad down and Ryan Reynolds deleted it from his Instagram. So this like whole fucking spiral of events happened. And you know what? Frankly, now I am glad that Sex and the City got rebooted because these women finally got the chance to take down Christopher Noth.
Holy shit.
He was a terrible person in the whole series, and they romanticize this relationship between Carrie and Big in this way where it's like very much like twin flame relationships, which like should not be glorified at all. The whole concept mm-hmm. is disgusting. But yeah, I was, when he died, I was so happy. Cause at this point I'm hate watching and I've never been somebody who does that. Normally I'm just like, this is stupid. I can't go on, whatever. But I'd been watching this show since like middle school, which is kind of terrifying as well. Mm. Like, yeah, me and my mother would watch this show together. So I'm invested, you know? So I had to keep watching, even though
the song
Carrie is a piece of shit. I mean, I don't blame
Charlotte
Kim Cattrall.
Is an asshole. Like, yeah.
Yes. Kim Cattrall's like, fuck all of these
Kim
people.
Kim Cattrall is fucking winning right now. She's like, I knew I shouldn't be in that shit.
Yes. And everybody, it seemed like they were pushing her for so long to be involved. And she's like, I have told y'all to fuck off. Like, leave me alone. You know, I have a lot of respect for her and kind of none for the rest of them. Sorry.
But also, can we just take a moment for the women that were sexually assaulted by Chris Noth? Because like, we really went like circled back on how shitty everyone in Sex and the City is and how exploitative their behavior was and mm-hmm. how toxic that show was. But like, you know, those that like, that is fiction based on reality, but like in reality, Chris Noth assaulted four women. Like that's four. Was that right?
I think it might have just been two that came forward with their own unique stories, like 10 years apart. But always when there's two that come forward or something, you know, it's like there's probably a lot more that have not been able to come forward. So mm-hmm. also keeping, I try to keep that in mind too. But no, you're totally right. We went back. I feel like sometimes we go back into the fiction because the reality of that is so disgusting, but yeah, definitely a good idea to circle back to their real experiences and how it must feel to have that shit in the media all the time.
Yeah. Right. And like I didn't mean to bury the lead or anything. It's just like, honestly, I wouldn't even want to talk about this story if it was just like, oh, Peloton stock sunk or whatever. Like the only reason that I added it to the docket for this week was because it's like, oh, this is good that somebody's being fucking taken down for being a creep. Like, that's why I wanted to talk about it.
Yeah, and also, I think the fact that that is yet another completely bizarre chain of events. Like,
yeah.
Product placement leads to, like, this stock drop followed by, like, there's just a whole, the whole chain.
Yeah, some weird dominoes. I like that meme. The Domino's meme where it's like the Wright brothers' parents have sex and then the top one is like fucking children across the world getting nuked or whatever. Like, it's very strange.
What?
I don't know. You ever try to explain a meme in real time? It doesn't usually go well.
No, I know what you're saying, though. Like, the degrees of separation between... Mm-hmm. No, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, I know what meme you're talking about.
I've never seen that meme.
Well, Deanna, maybe you should spend more time on Twitter. No, don't do that.
Don't. What the worst advice you could give, but this is the right place for it. So
the worst advice yet. Let's move on. So this week, there's, you know, been a lot of recovery and efforts going on down in Kentucky and across the center of the country after the devastating storms that happened last week. Now, obviously, there's a lot of people that need help. You know, there's a lot of good organizations doing work on the ground. The reason I wanted to talk about this, listeners, is because Joe Biden took a trip down to Kentucky to survey the damage and said what I think might be the stupidest fucking thing I've ever heard him say. Joe Biden was surveying the damage and he started praising people for putting aside their political differences to work together on the repair efforts, which, first of all, shut the fuck up. Like, people don't when your neighbor's house gets fucking blown up by a tornado, you don't ask them who they voted for. Like, that's never been a thing. Like, people help each other when they're in times of great need, even if they, like, this isn't a new fucking phenomenon. This isn't you healing the country, you fucking dickhead.
I'm gonna out myself as a real piece of shit. Like, I would help my neighbor either way, but I would move a little faster for the Black Lives Matter neighbor over the Blue Lives Matter neighbor. Like, I would wait. I would wait and see. I'd be like
down here though. Down here, it isn't like that, though. We really, you're right, Andrew. Like, everybody just helps each other.
I mean,
like,
I would help them. I'm not saying I wouldn't help them. I would wait and see what 911 had for them.
Yeah. Well, the thing that Joe Biden said, which, as I said, is the stupidest thing I think he's ever said, he was talking about how people are working together, and he said, quote, "There are no red tornadoes. There are no blue tornadoes."
Oh my God.
I hate him so much. Like, what the
fuck? Such a weird old shitty bitch.
Like,
is he writing his own words? Like, that's the thing where it's like, clearly he's not like there, you know, like working with. Well,
it's like a paraphrase of that like famous speech that Barack Obama gave at the 2004 Democratic Convention, where he's like, "There's no red states, there's no blue states, it's the United States of America." And so, like, what Joe Biden I think was saying was that there's no red tornadoes, there's no blue tornadoes,
there's
it's
just
the
United
tornadoes of America.
You know what?
Like, he started.
I think he was paraphrasing Dr. Seuss. I think he was like. Red tornado, yeah. Blue right. Tornado, me tornado, you tornado. That's,
there it is.
I think that's what it was.
Joe Biden, hire us to write your speeches.
I think that's the only way his speeches could get worse, actually.
Yeah.
Like, saying nothing would be better than that.
Yes.
Yeah. Marina, I love that you called him a weird old bitch, but what? There was a fourth word. What was the
weird
fourth?
Old shitty bitch?
Shitty bitch. Weird old shitty bitch. I just thank you for that old turn of phrase.
Bitch.
I'll take it.
We might have an episode title, folks. Speaking of Joe Biden, president of the United States, Joe Biden recently his approval ratings have been kind of going down a little bit, kind of tanking, if you will. And, you know, I wanted to spend the rest of this episode kind of just talking over why that might be happening. See, a lot of Democratic analysts, they can't figure this out. You know, you see people on CNN saying, what's happened to Joe Biden's approval ratings?
Well, you know, we can't get the red approval and the blue approval to be the United States of approval. So,
yeah. So, like, I don't know. Like, you could maybe say, oh, is it the fact that there's still a bunch of kids in cages? Oh, I don't know. Is it, let's see, what did he do just this week? Decided not to extend student debt relief. He said, you know what? These kids, they've had 2 years to prepare to start paying their student loans back. It's time to do it.
That and the fact that he can't get these fucking flying bounce houses under control, he's got a real problem on his hands.
To be fair, that happened in Tasmania, but, you know, Australia is a U.S. ally. The United States military has their hands in a lot of things we don't understand. The bounce castle was an experimental drone, is what I'm thinking. Yeah, so this week Joe Biden's like, hey, guess what, kids? Got to pay your loans back.
Or we'll set the feral hogs on you.
We're also losing our child tax credit, which
yep.
For a lot of people,
we're
getting double... Like
once again, the way to provide the best life for your children is don't have them. If they're already here, good luck.
Yeah. If they're already here.
No, really.
May I recommend some room temperature? I can't believe it's not butter.
Yeah. Give them a spoon of mayonnaise. They're going to need it.
They're going to be all right.
Yes. Now, as Myth was alluding to, it's not just the child tax credits that are expiring. This week, they announced that the entire Build Back Better plan that they've been talking about this entire year is just getting shelved. They said, you know what, Joe Manchin, we can't do anything about Joe Manchin. We can't. This guy, you know, listen here, Jack. Joe Manchin, he said, nuh-uh, I don't want to do it. And I'm the president, but I was like, okay, I guess so. They are just giving up on this entire fucking... Joe Biden said he wanted to be FDR and then came out with a plan that was like a third of the New Deal. And then was like, yeah, but what if I just didn't do that?
Maybe Joe Biden's son should be texting Manchin. Because that's...
Hunter Biden? Yeah. Hold on. Hunter Biden should absolutely be texting Joe Manchin. So this led to like a lot of people... A lot of people on Twitter are like, what do you expect him to do? And it's like...
Anything that literally isn't the anything. Worst.
Like, I don't know.
Join a Quidditch league. Do something.
Joe Biden, take literally. A broom to West Virginia. No, but like, there are things that he could do. Like, first of all, Joe Biden has the power to do executive orders. What does that mean? That means he can fuck with Joe Manchin's money. Joe Manchin has a lot of money in coal and like healthcare and stuff. Now, a lot of that stuff, if Joe Biden signed the executive order, it would probably get overturned in the Supreme Court eventually. But you could fuck with his money tomorrow if you decide to try and push Joe Manchin. But he doesn't want to do that. He wants to, you know, in the spirit of finding the center and working with both sides, I'll just let my entire fucking platform fall by the wayside. I mean, you know, they were talking about like, oh, we're only getting this much paid family leave instead of this much. And it's like, no, you're getting fucking nothing. Vote for us again, though.
Like, I think I have a diplomatic boycott of the Democrats. Like, I end up fucking voting for them, but I hate them and I disagree with everything they do for ethical and human rights reasons.
So in 2022, I've decided that I am not going to vote for anybody above like the local level unless I have to vote for whoever the Democrat is that's running against Dr. Oz, because that's happening in our state. Like, I have to vote against. I have to vote against Dr. Oz.
Dr. Oz is running for something.
He's running for the fucking Senate.
Yeah.
Like, he's also
a fraudulent piece of shit who lives in New Jersey and is lying. He's using his mother's home address, which is in Pennsylvania, but he has no claim to Pennsylvania.
How is that allowed? Oh my God.
It's
like,
not
allowed,
but they're just fucking doing it.
I know that like none of this is fair. I know that, that people, they're just doing whatever they want, but I still catch myself every few, I don't know, maybe it's every day.
Minutes.
I'm like,
it's every few minutes.
How is this allowed?
Like, especially on this podcast, every few minutes he introduces a new headline and I'm like, how is this? Why?
Who let this happen? Oh, everybody's sick, dude. Now, the last reason that I think, you know, might have something to do with Joe Biden's tanking approval ratings is, you guessed it, folks, the coronavirus. COVID-19, COVID-20, COVID-2021, it's to who knows what year it is. This fucking plague is here to stay. Now, Joe Biden actually issued a statement on the coronavirus recently where he said, quote, anyone who is responsible for that many deaths should not remain president of the United States. Oh, I'm sorry. He said that when Donald Trump was president. I think now that he's the president, it's okay. It's okay. No, this week, what he actually said, this was in the form of a White House press briefing, was, quote, we are intent on not letting Omicron disrupt work and school for the vaccinated. You've done the right thing, and we will get through this. For the unvaccinated, you're looking at a winter of severe illness and death for yourselves, your families, and the hospitals you may soon overwhelm. Joe Biden's a fucking monster, dude.
I'm so glad my kid's not old enough to be vaccinated. I mean, it's just like such a relief that the unvaccinated are meant to just be,
yeah,
you know, and like I would vaccinate him today, like immediately, this very minute, if I could.
And like, you know, we always hear stories about how like the government turns us against each other so we don't look at them. And like, that's really what this has turned into. Like, just the whole like, oh, everything is the unvaccinated's fault. Like, no, dude, it is your fucking fault. You're in charge. Like, you are the ones that are supposed to figure this out. You're not supposed to defer to the general populace. Americans are fucking dumb, which is also your fault because you don't fucking teach us anything in schools. Like, you cannot push the blame onto people for not making the right decisions when you put the ball in dumb people's court. Like,
well, I think too, people are just like, they have to work. Like down here, I notice more and more, it's like people are, they would rather not be exposed or expose other people. But the people that have the good sense to know to social distance and everything, like they still have to go work at their shitty like Dollar General store job. I don't know. I think about those people because they're my neighbors. So it's like, a lot of them too.
I think about those people because it's me. Like,
yeah. Like exactly.
There was that thing going around on Twitter this week that was like, for all my friends who haven't caught COVID, like, what's your secret? And like, I saw that and like, I thought about it. I'm like, the only reason I haven't caught COVID is because like my job, I do it like I drive an ice cream truck. I'm not inside a building. Like, that's it. Like, that's it's if I had a fucking. I mean, personal responsibility has a part of it, but it's mostly fucking luck. Like, I'm lucky to have a job where I don't have to sit in a fucking office, where I don't have to, like, have customers breathe into my mouth. Like, that's it. That's all it is. And, you know, like, people get up on this fucking high horse, and they're like, well, I'm doing everything right. It's like, people that do everything right but still have to go to work get COVID.
Right. I did everything I was supposed to do all through March through July of 2020. And then in August, I went back to my job waiting tables and immediately got fucking COVID. Like, I had stayed in the house. I had been without work for months. I did all the fucking shit that I was supposed to do. And then everyone was like, well, we're tired of not doing capitalism. Mm-hmm. Get to it. And I immediately got COVID. So I do. I mean, I feel sour about the people that are in charge, but I also feel sour about the people who are looking around at other people and just being willfully like, it is also kind of their fucking fault.
It is, but like, it's just, it's not fair for the president to push the blame on them. Like, I'm not saying that, like, you shouldn't be mad at, like,
oh, yeah,
somebody, but, like, it's not fair for the president to do that because, like, you're the one that's letting these people go do stuff. Like, it's very frustrating.
But he did, like, the vaccine mandate got squashed. Like, things that, like, anything that has tried, anything that has been tried does get shut down by the people that are like, we don't like that. And we don't want to go along with it. So like,
to the best of my knowledge, like if there's an actual declaration of emergency, like the president can kind of become a king. Like they can, if there's that like emergency order or whatever, like they can kind of do shit that can't be shut down or whatever. Like, I don't know how all this stuff works to the fullest extent, but I'm pretty sure that like
they need to be paying people to stay home. I think that's part of the issue.
It's not about what they're letting like it's actually not about that they're letting people like do whatever the fuck they want. It's more about the fact that they're not
providing an alternative.
They're not creating conditions for people to do the right thing.
Yeah,
or like to make better choices. Like
if somebody has to go to work every day, you're not going to be able to be like, okay, you do have to go to this fucking building you hate being at, but you're not allowed to do anything else. That's never going to work.
Right. Like, and even I started to feel that way. Like when I was still waitressing, I'd be like, I have to be out here in a fucking pandemic so that all these people can enjoy themselves. And so that I can like fucking pay my bills. And then, when all is said and done, like I would like to fucking enjoy something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I felt like I couldn't. In a lot of ways, I still feel like I can't. That's why I only do things I don't enjoy, like this podcast.
Hey.
No, but seriously.
Well, too,
like,
there's always people that'll make you feel guilty. Even in when you're not risking your life, people will make you feel guilty just for not suffering when they're suffering.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of that too.
Yeah.
Experience.
Someone's like, she smiled in an Instagram post. She must have done something fun. That's not allowed. Look at her smiling. Doesn't she know there's a pandemic? And it's like, what?
But yeah.
No, I literally had that happen to me yesterday on social
media. Oh, really?
Media.
I mean, I'm not surprised. Yeah. I do believe it.
No, yeah, that's a great point because, like, as much as, like, for us to, like, look down on somebody that's doing something we don't approve of, like, there's a lot of people that look down on us for doing something they don't approve of. It's just, this isn't the way that you fucking, like, get out of a pandemic, is that everybody, like, just there's this chain of command on who we're mad at. There's always somebody madder at us than we are at another person. Like, it's just, it's, there's no fucking,
we all need to be mad at the big guy. Yeah. The guy with the power.
I'm mad at him.
That guy that can't talk.
I'm mad at the guy with the clipboard. I assume Joe Biden has a clipboard. I don't know.
I'm mad at the guy with the cheat sheet.
Wait a minute. That's me.
I assume Joe Biden also has a cheat sheet.
Yeah, Joe Biden definitely gets presidential briefings every morning that are probably pretty similar to the notes I take on this podcast, in that he barely comprehends them. So this week, again, don't understand why Joe Biden's poll numbers are so low. This week, Jen Psaki, White House press secretary, was asked directly about whether or not she should, the United States government should make more of an effort for people to have access to tests. She responded in a smug, snarky tone, "What, should we just send everybody a free test to their house?" Which is literally absolutely what she should do, what the government should do.
Yeah, I was going to say, didn't you just suggest that like 2 weeks ago?
Yeah,
you were like,
week,
why don't we just fucking send out some tests?
Yeah, so like a lot of other countries are doing this. I know for a fact in the United Kingdom, once a week you can send a request and the government will just mail you 7 tests. Like, or I think it might be once a day, because like they want everybody to know before they go to work, before they go to other places, if they have COVID. Now, to be fair, in the United States, most places of work have ended their COVID sick pay. So if you catch COVID, you just lose money now. That's the only thing that happens.
Also, a lot of places of work are covering up COVID cases.
Yeah.
And not informing employees, not informing the public. Like, there are a lot of, and they don't want people to call off, and they don't want to close, and they don't want to, they don't fucking care.
Yeah.
And
people
so,
are literally dying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, so with the Omicron variant, like this is something that like we really have yet to see the effects. Early, like the earliest science that's been done on it, they do believe that for vaccinated people, especially people that have had a booster shot, that it is much more infectious, but it's not as serious like disease wise. But the federal health this week, some federal health officials warned that Omicron could peak in January with a huge surge of infections that could still overwhelm hospitals. Now, to this, Kamala Harris said that we didn't see Omicron coming, which, again, can't understand why Joe Biden's poll numbers are so low when his vice president's like, we didn't know this could happen. It's like literally every epidemiologists have been saying that it's going to change and mutate and become more infectious as time goes on. Like, again, Joe, you're fucking up every which way you can. Now, this is in the United Kingdom this week. They actually reported their highest number of cases since the pandemic began, like even higher than last winter. Like this Omicron might get us up. Like, I think our highest daily cases was like 300,000 or something. Like, maybe we'll be up to 500,000 in January. That would be sick.
It's about winning.
It's about winning.
We have to have America is number one. America first.
No, we are the best.
We have to have the highest number. We have to have the most. We have to do the most.
Yeah.
And do you ever feel like, I feel like we're living in the apocalypse version of Groundhog Day? Because it's like, yeah, things are steadily getting worse, but like every day is just like, I don't know. It's like basically the same fucked up cycle of like, we're screaming to be listened to and we're being ignored, I think.
And we're being told to go back to work. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, as I said, like they know with Omicron that it is specifically for people that have gotten the vaccine booster, that it is much less serious because like, you know, most of the people that have gotten 2 doses of the vaccine but not boosted, that was like 4 to 6 months ago at this point when they got their second dose. So for people that have gotten the booster, they've got something more recent. You know, they're in a better position. I saw this week, though, that only a third of Americans that were eligible for the booster have received it. So that means 2/3 of the country is super susceptible to Omicron. Like, this is not good news. Again, what Joe Biden was saying was, for the unvaccinated, you're looking at a winter of severe illness and death. That's 2/3 of the fucking country that is not protected against Omicron. And we are already seeing it. Now, you were saying earlier that a lot of workplaces are trying to like downplay their COVID outbreaks. But we've seen this week like a couple really high profile businesses that kind of couldn't hide it. For example, just last night, Saturday Night Live is experiencing a breakout with their cast and crew to the point that they could only have the host and two cast members was all they could have on the show because so many people have COVID right now. Like,
it's going to be Paul Rudd, right?
Yeah, Paul Rudd was the guest. And then Kenan Thompson and Michael Shea were the only two people that could come, like, of the regular cast. And then Tina Fey and Tom Hanks both were able to make it because, like, they're not in contact. But it's just, like, this cluster broke out with most of the cast and crew. Like, they were supposed to have Charlie XCX, or however you pronounce that Roman numeral. I've only ever read it. Don't know who it is. She was supposed to be the musical guest, but they had to cancel that because they literally didn't have enough crew members to film the performance. This week, the NFL, National Football League, is experiencing a wild COVID outbreak because, like, a lot of players have refused to get vaccinated. Multiple teams have lost, like, not just one or two, but, like, dozens of players. The Cleveland Browns have 24 players out of 52. 24 players currently have COVID, to the point that they couldn't even have the game. They were like, their quarterback, their backup quarterback, and then they signed another random person, and he also got COVID. Like, they were like, we don't have a guy that can throw the ball. Like, so they
COVID was in his contract. They were like, we'll sign you on, but you have to get COVID.
So they literally didn't have enough players to play. So they were like, let's take this game that's supposed to happen on Saturday and do it on Tuesday. And maybe it'll be better by then. They're like just kicking the can down the road 3 days. And again, it's this whole fucking house of cards. Everything's like barely hanging on. And nobody wants to admit that, like, it really isn't going to take much to push us over the edge at this point. And
one strong gust of wind, and this bouncy house is taking off.
Well, we figured it out, folks. It all comes back to bouncy castles. Also, there was a Miss World pageant that was postponed at the last minute because 23 of the 97 contestants all caught COVID.
They were like, most of the world is dying of COVID, so Miss World is canceled.
Yeah.
Miss World.
At this point, honestly, the accurate representation of Miss World would just be some lady who has COVID.
I didn't know that was still a thing. Like, yeah, do people still sit down and watch Miss World? Is that something else?
Miss America, Miss World, Miss Universe. I don't understand the difference between Miss World and Miss Universe, though. Like, I feel like
aliens inclusive, you know?
They say they're alien inclusive, but have we ever actually seen them invite an alien on stage? No. I want to hear an alien's answer for how they would achieve world peace. Yeah, just blow up all the people.
I feel like if you know how there's like something about like if you put a set number of monkeys like in a room with typewriters, they would eventually type out like all the works of Shakespeare. I feel like if you put a room full monkeys into a room full of typewriters and the only words they could type were the words that comprised every like pageant contestants' answer to the question of how would you achieve world peace? Like eventually the monkeys would like bash out the answer and like, these are the steps. This is what Joe Biden is not willing to do to get us there.
Joe Biden, and this forget is Build why, Back Better. You need to get monkeys in rooms with typewriters.
This is why this motherfucker, it doesn't matter, red monkeys, blue monkeys, just get them in there. Give him the typewriter. Your approval ratings will go up. Your TikTok followers also will go up. Just take some fucking clips of that shit. Let Kamala read them aloud. This is how you build back better. You weird old shitty bitch.
Exactly.
Well, you heard it here first, President Biden. We just solved your fucking problems. Put us on the payroll. Joe Biden, go to patreon.com/worstweekyet.
Go to patreon.com/spoonfulofmayo. Now,
can't believe it's not butter.
Before we wrap things up for the week, I actually just wanted to cover a story where this actually could have been an even worser week yet. We usually don't cover like near misses or like, oh, things almost were so much worse than they could have been and already are. But I saw this story and I was like, holy fuck, this would have been a much different week. So this week or earlier this week, Flavor Flav was driving in a canyon and a boulder fell off the side of the canyon and like hit half of his car, like hit the passenger half of his car and like completely totaled his car, but he was totally fine. Can you imagine how fucked up this week would have been if, in addition to everything we just said, Flavor Flav got crushed by a random boulder?
Could you imagine if your kid got killed in the flying bouncy house and episode and then you found out that a fucking boulder fell on Flavor Flav and he fucking lived? I would be livid. I would be writing a fucking, I can feel the back of my haircut getting layered right now as I transform. I can feel the beige rage growing inside me. Like, I would want to speak to the manager of Catastrophic Events because my child had been wronged.
I think that this is also, like, such a fear. I mean, earlier we had mentioned, like, oh, yeah, I'm so afraid of a log falling off. And so here it's hay bales. Last year, someone I know got killed by a hay bale falling off onto their car and killing them.
Oh, that's so embarrassing.
I hope my husband listens to this episode. Yet another reason why we'll never move to the fucking country. I was not cut out to die by hay bale.
I feel like this city is so much more dangerous, but you might be right. Hay bale is pretty.
So, well, like if something falls on you in a city, it's going to be like an air conditioner or like a piano or something. But like
a brick. Yeah.
A brick. But like I would so much rather get crushed by a piano than a bale of hay. I think.
Yeah, I think getting crushed would just not be fun either way.
I don't know that I'm into being crushed.
I don't know, guys. Yeah. I've had a few crushes and it is pretty terrible. You're right. Myth. Marina, thank you so much for coming on this week. Why don't you tell people where to find you? Myth, where can the people find you?
You can find me on Twitter. I'm a mythic witch. I also just started a podcast. It's called Sleeping Myth.
Sorry, I made a woo sound while you said the name. Can you repeat it, please?
It's called Sleeping with Myth. You can hear it on Anchor or Spotify. I just started, so have your expectations low. Thank you.
If they're listening to this, they already do.
You can find me on Instagram and at sleepyhousehealing.com. I sell tarot readings. And I do dream healing work, but my books are closed right now. So to rest, because I feel like shit.
You deserve it. You've earned it. You've earned it. And you're still here with us today. Wow. Marina, what's the show again?
The show is called Log Off Already. That's on Twitch. And we do have a Twitter. And you can find me on Twitter at MarinaXDove. That's my account. And yeah.
Fuck yeah. Well, thank yous both again. Deanna, do you have anything to plug?
I can't believe it's not butter.
Well, you better believe it. That's you know what? I don't have anything to plug. I'm supposed to go to Alaska for a comedy festival in like 3 months, and I feel like that's going to get canceled. I don't fucking know. I hope it doesn't. I really want to go to Alaska.
Caught in the crosshairs of cancel culture.
You can follow the pod at Worst Week Yet. You can follow Deanna at DDDDDDeanna, or 4Ds, 4D, 4D.
He'll tag me, okay?
You can follow me at Andrew Hillary US, and you can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/worstweekyet. We'll be back with some more fucked up news next week. I think Merry Christmas in between that. I don't know. Go make your own fucking holiday.